This is Christ the King. Jesus is his name. Christ is his title. Christ meaning Messiah. Jesus meaning Savior. He is our Savior and our Messiah. Now, the term or title Messiah doesn't connect with much of what we have in background to our culture. But Messiah was this messianic king, this deliverer king, who would set his people free. And we, his people, are free. Amen? Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 1, the first chapter of Matthew. Last Sunday morning, we began studying Matthew chapters 1 and 2, and we made our way through the genealogies. If last Sunday was the first time you ever heard a message on the genealogy, say amen. Yeah, the first time I preached on them, too. So it's a first for most of us. But we give God thanks for the great Holy Scripture. Now, if you're able to stand, I'll ask you to do so in honor of God's Word. This is the Word of God. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together. Now, you know what that means, don't you? Some of you, I'm not sure. Means before they started holding hands. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because otherwise Joseph would have named him. That was the daddy's job. So all of you mothers who buy mother's books, baby names, not in the first century. It was daddy's job. And most of the time, daddy called him after himself. Well, let's not get off the subject. For he will save his people from their sins. That's why he's called Jesus, meaning Savior. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Let the church say commanded. Yeah, commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. In the time of Jesus, Jewish marriages were arranged by parents. The man's parents and the woman's parents met and formally entered a contract. Now, this contract included a dowry because the father would lose financial ability from the earnings of his daughter around the house. Now, from this point on, the contractual marriage, they were considered husband and wife. Though they didn't live together and though they did not have intimate relations one with another. They entered a year's period of testing. Now, this testing was called the betrothal. The purpose of betrothal was to guarantee that the woman was not pregnant. And if she didn't show up pregnant in a year, I don't know why betrothal didn't last 9 months. They didn't consult me. It lasted a year, and when the woman did not come up pregnant, the man knew that she hadn't conceived a child and been unfaithful before their marriage. If she came up pregnant during betrothal, he would have known the baby wasn't his, and she would have been proven unfaithful. And in such cases, the marriage would have been annulled. But most marriages prove to be that the wife, during the betrothal period, had proven herself faithful, and she was able to proceed with the customs. Now, after the betrothal period, the husband would go to his wife's parents' home along with the procession of family members and friends. He would take his wife back to his house. And at his house, they would begin a week-long festival. And during this time of festival, he and his wife for the first time would consummate their marriage. Now, it was during this year of betrothal that Mary came up pregnant. That's a problem. Now, as we examine Holy Scripture, we find that God used humans because God was orchestrating a plan. God used humans in the birth of King Jesus. You see, this wasn't by error. This wasn't by mistake. God was orchestrating an eternal plan, and God used Mary to give birth to King Jesus while she was a virgin. Now, Mary had not had sex with Joseph or anyone, period. She was a virgin, but she came up pregnant, and Mama had never told her that this was an option. But God did. Now, Matthew doesn't give us the details of Mary's conception, but Luke chapter 2 does. Let me fill in the gaps real quickly. An angel appeared to Mary and said, "You have been selected. You are favored in that you will have a male son, and your child will be from God." Mary's reply was, "How can that be? I don't know a man," meaning that she had not been intimate with the man. Because that's how you have a baby, if there are no storks nearby. So the angel replied, "With man, it's impossible," but actually he used to say the positive, "With God, all things are possible." And then Mary replied to him, "Behold, your bondservant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." You know, there's a great lesson here. most of us would like to do something for God. In fact, all of us here today would like to have a life of importance. Every single one of us, I'm sure with no exception, would like to say, my life counted. I existed for more purposes than to pay bills. I had a reason to live. I contributed and I made some difference in this world. You know, you can not only make some difference, you can make a great difference. It is the will of God that you make great difference by your being here on the planet. But it all begins by saying, may it be done to me according to your word. You see, I think God would use us if we would have the same attitude. May it be done to me according to your word. Now, we seem to put in some conditions. God, you do with me whatever you want, but I just don't have much time. Because I've got responsibilities, God. You don't understand, God. Chuckle, chuckle. You don't understand. I've got work to do. I've got issues to address. I've got children to feed. I've got bills to pay. I've got a house to clean. I've got money to make. I've got car repairs to see to. God, you don't understand. Oh, yeah, he understands. I assure you. There are no conditions. When we start attaching conditions, God, I tell you what, I will do whatever you want as long as it's on Sunday. Sunday's your day, God, you got it. I'm all yours on Sunday. Oh, yeah, really, it's Sunday from like 10 to 12. But anything you want to do with me from Sunday 10 to 12, I'm your man or I'm your woman. Oh, God says, we don't work this way here. May it be done to me, said Mary, according to your word, period. No conditions. Are you attaching conditions on God? And then say, God, why don't you use me? Why aren't you blessing me? Why aren't you giving me a life of importance and significance and value? Because maybe you are attaching some conditions. God used Joseph to be daddy to King Jesus. When Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, it took him just a little bit to accept. You see, getting pregnant during betrothal meant one thing, and that is his wife Mary had intimate relationships with a man before their marriage contract began. And he was deeply distressed. But he loved Mary. And he didn't want to disgrace her. But he had one option and one option alone. And that was to divorce her privately. Annul the marriage privately. And then an angel appeared to Joseph. And said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Because what's born in her is of God, and she will give birth to one you will name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. And then Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. You know, God chooses people who will obey his commands. If you want a life of significance, a life of purpose, a life of meaning, then we must, you must, and so must I, obey the commands of God. Now, you've heard me teach before that God never makes a suggestion. Yet again, we're reminded. God did not come to Joseph and say, Joseph, I've got some options. Pick one, two, three, or four, whichever you want. All of them are good options. You choose. No, God says, listen, Joseph, here's the way it is. She's already pregnant, and I didn't ask you if that's okay. I realize she's your betrothed wife, and I'm saying I'm God up here. And we have a plan. I'm executing the plan. This is how it's coming off. And she's going to give birth, and you're going to be the daddy. And Joseph obeyed all the commandments from the Lord. Listen, if you're here today and you want importance, you want significance, you want your life to matter, you see, you've got to say, Lord, all right, I will obey your commandments. I will obey some of them. We like to pick and choose. We like menus. That's why we like smorgasbords. We call them Baptist stuffets around here. We love to go to smorgasbords. I want some of that. I want a lot of that. A lot of that. Not much of that. I want a whole bunch of this. You see, that's why Brother Joe Green, our food services director, makes buffets every Wednesday night, because we like them. And you know what? I must say, I like buffets too. I get to pick what I want and leave alone. Thank you, Sister Pap. Grits, fried okra, that grass that Joe gets, and he tells you it's greens, but really it's just grass out in the field. And he, I wasn't supposed to say that. But I get to eat all the chicken I want. But you know what? That's just our human nature. And God says, listen, I got another plan here. Here's my command to you. You either take it or you don't. You either obey or you disobey. There are no buffet lines to choose the will of God. Do you want God to bless you and use you? I mean, you want God to say one day, you know what? Your life mattered. You did more than pay bills and sire children. Your life had meaning. It had purpose. You had a legacy. And it wasn't just that you were a good old boy, but you have made a difference. Then we must obey the commandments of God. And I don't mean pick and choose, but all of them. God will use you when it looks like the wheels are coming off in your life. Can you imagine what Joseph thought when Mary came up pregnant? Mary was proven by his thought process to be unfaithful. Everything he knew, everything he had been taught, everything he understood about human life told him that Mary was unfaithful. The wheels came off in Joseph's life. And can you imagine Mary coming to Joseph saying, husband, I need to talk to you. I'm pregnant. I mean, can you imagine Mary? Now, you say, well, how do you know it happened that way? I don't. It either happened one of two ways. Either Mary told him she is pregnant, or she began to show. And Joseph confronted her. Either she confronted Joseph or Joseph confronted her. But I'm absolutely certain of this. It was not a pleasant confrontation. You say, how do you know? Because Joseph said, I must divorce you, Mary. That's the only thing I can do. I have no choice. You're pregnant and I'm not the father. I must divorce you. But in respect to you, I'll do it privately. But this marriage is over. The wheels came off Mary's life. The wheels came off Joseph's life. You ever feel that way in life? The wheels are just coming off. And your life is just fragmenting. Listen, I've got some good news. It's not me, it's God. I'm just reporting. You see, it's times when the wheels come off that God will use to refocus us. You see, God desires to move in our lives, to make our lives important, to make our lives count, to give us significance in life. But yet when we are in control, we have life figured out. We've got plans. And we have processes. I mean, we've got our ducks in a row. You see, and as long as we are controlling our lives, I mean, God is saying, listen, how do I get in on this? He doesn't get in on it. He intervenes and says, now you get in on my plan. How often have we busied ourselves creating our own plans, devising strategically, thought through plans, and there's nothing wrong with them other than when we just do them ourselves and not go to God for them. You see, we've got to surrender control of our lives. All of us. Our lives will be lived for us until we surrender control of our lives. Now, here's the good news. When it looks as though the wheels are coming off in your life, you've got one or two choices. You can say, okay, God, where are you? God, where are you? What's up? Where are you? You don't care for me. You neglected me. You failed me. By the way, that's the wrong road to choose. It's the one of falsehood. It's the one of untruth. Don't go down that road. There's nothing good but fire from Hades and the bottomless pit. Don't go there. The other choice you have is to say, God, I know you may not have caused this, but I know you are refocusing my life. You know, sometimes in the ancient days when a shepherd had a lamb, it would wander off because lambs are kind of stupid animals. And since we were stupid farmers when I was a kid, we never had sheep because we'd never make it. We had smart animals so stupid farmers could take care of them. But sheep were kind of stupid animals. They'd eat along and they'd walk along with the grasses and then they'd just fall right into harm's way. Woods would come and all kind of threats, cliffs, etc. And they would just injure themselves. Sometimes when the sheep wandered off so much, you know what a shepherd would do? He'd take the sheep, sometimes, not always, and break its leg. And would bind it up, wrap it up, put it on his shoulders, bring it back to the fold. And you know what? That sheep didn't wander away again. It needed some refocusing. You know, when bad things come to your life, when you feel like the wheels are coming off in your life, you can go down the road and say, oh, God, where are you? Or you can say, oh, Lord, help me to see. Help me to refocus. I'm losing control, but that's where I want to be. You and God both can't control you. Either God's controlling you or you are, but not both. You see, when the wheels are coming off in your life, God's preparing you. For what? For your purpose. To make your life meaningful. To give you significance. For you to refocus so that you can carry out this kingdom's work that King Jesus began. You see, God will use us in ways to advance his kingdom. Matthew tells us, as we read a moment ago, that these things occurred to Mary and Joseph to fulfill God's promise in Scripture. When the wheels are coming off in your life, he's refocusing your life on the kingdom. Now, a lot of folks get off track. They jump from the fire to the frying pan. But we need to make our decision to refocus because Scripture here was given in Matthew, not just to do something religious, but was to remind Joseph and Mary and all of us today that God has a purpose that is based in his word, and it's to advance the kingdom. You see, Scripture is the map to fulfilling your role in God's kingdom. You know, God rarely writes on walls today. I suppose he's only done so once, to my knowledge. And if you're making a decision about, well, you know what, I don't know where to attend college, most likely he's not going to send you an email, a text message, an Instagram, or Twitter to say, this is your college to go to. But guess what? He's already written you a letter. And that letter is the Holy Bible. Your answers is in the Word of God. Read it. Open it. If you're here today and you're in the midst of decision and you know there's options in life and you don't know what to do, what direction to choose, then do what Matthew, or do what, as Matthew instructed. Open the Word of God. And you will find the will of God in his love letter to you, called the Holy Bible. Now, I want to tell you what it's going to say. It's going to say that you were created to impact the kingdom. You were created to do good works. You were created. It is the will of God, not for you just to pay bills, not just to survive, not just to get by and then have a little fun on every other weekend and on holidays. It is the will of God for you to make a difference with your life and to impact the kingdom of God and the lives of other people for the kingdom. Now, King Jesus brings salvation to his amazing kingdom. We find this in verse 25, this great passage that we read a moment ago. King Jesus brings salvation to his amazing kingdom. Now, the most amazing thing about God's kingdom is King Jesus. Now, most of us would say, you know what? I think the most amazing things about the kingdom are miracles. And you know what? I sure wish God would give me a miracle. And if I had a miracle, boy, I think my life would be pretty important and significant. Boy, I tell you what, it'd be pretty awesome. Now, I'm with you in that. I think a miracle from time to time would be very helpful and nice and very, very useful. But we pray for miracles, don't you? Every time we pray for someone to be healed, what are we praying for? A miracle of healing. And we pray for families that are in distress, that God would reconcile them. What are we praying for? A miracle of God's intervention. When we pray for our government, really, what are we praying for? A miracle. I mean, sometimes a real big miracle. That God would bring some unity and some significance and some order and godliness in our nation. Miracles. But I want you to know from the Word of God that the greatest part of the kingdom is not a miracle. It's King Jesus. Now, when we study the scripture, here's what we learn about miracles. Miracles always pointed to a message. In fact, the Gospel of John, one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospel of John never uses the word miracles at all, but only uses the word sign, S-I-G-N, because miracles point to a message. By the way, they did in Matthew, Mark, and Luke too. Every miracle has something more important than the miracle. You see, if you were lame and you were able to walk, that's a miracle, but soon you died anyway. And if you were a leper and he healed you of leprosy, you still were going to die sooner or later. But you see, the miracles of Jesus pointed to something more important, a message about King Jesus. All right, let me give you some examples. This is too important to miss. When Jesus fed the 5,000, one of our favorite miracles, it's a miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels. Probably the most familiar and the most commonly known and reported miracle of all of Jesus. The feeding of the 5,000. He fed 5,000 men plus women and children with what? What do you have? Five loaves and what? Two fish. Okay. That's a small little boy's lunch. Now, by five loaves, it wasn't five Miss Frances Farron loaves. You know, those great big loaves like this? They were five pieces of bread. I'm thinking that boy is pretty hungry to have five pieces of bread and two little old fish. The fish would have been about that size. But still, nonetheless. Jesus fed 5,000. We said, oh, man, what a miracle. That is awesome. I wish he could go in my cupboard and multiply my peanut butter, multiply my food items. I wish Jesus would do some of that for me. Don't miss the message. Here's the message. Jesus said, I am the bread that came from heaven. He that eats this bread will live forever. That's the message. And that's more important than having your belly full one meal. You see, when Jesus healed the lame man, Jesus went to him and said, son, your sins are forgiven. Walk.
And folks around begin to say, whoa, 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 what did he say? Did he just say that, man? Who can forgive sin other than God? Jesus is blasphemous. Jesus said, well, wait a minute, what are you thinking? Is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and carry your bed and walk? But so that you will know that the Son of Man, Jesus, has the authority to forgive sin. That's why I said it. You see, it was more important for people to know the message that Jesus, the King, his authority over his kingdom. And when he says, your sins are forgiven, they are forgiven. That's more important than taking up your bed and walking because you're going to die sooner or later. But if you have this gift of Christ, the King, you live forever. One more example. When Jesus walked on the water, we love that one. In fact, we did that more than once. When Jesus walked on the water without benefit of jet ski or a boat or anything, though he rode a boat quite a bit, but he did walk on water. He wasn't just showing off. As a child, I imagined Jesus doing some of these miracles, and I kind of felt like, oh, go, Jesus, go. Come on, man. Go. You see, they wanted Jesus to show off. Remember when he was on the cross? They wanted Jesus to show off and said, listen, maybe Elijah's people, maybe they'll come down and take him off the cross. And as a child, I would say, come on, Jesus, get off the cross, get off, show him, levitate, do something, get off of that. Then you can go back on. I thought my plan was better than his. No. You see, when Jesus walked on water, what he was saying is the message. Not only can I still the storm, so just peace be unto you, but you know what? I am the peace of the world. I control nature. I am the Lord. I am the King to this kingdom. I'm kind of the top dog. I'm the number one chair. It's me. He wasn't bragging. He was just demonstrating so that people would get the message. This is King Jesus. You see, if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I'd kind of like this King Jesus you're speaking of, the one in the Bible, to do something for me. He wants to do something for you, but the problem is when we just want to get his miracle and run. Remember the 10 lepers that were healed? Out of 10 lepers, 9 took his gift of healing and ran. Only one came back to even say thanks. Let me ask you, has anyone here ever experienced a miracle? I've asked you that before, but I want to do it again today. If you've ever experienced a miracle, I want you to raise your hand. Just look around at the number of hands. Most of us would say, okay, I had a miracle. Miracle of healing of some kind. All right. Let me ask you, did you get the message? Did you celebrate the message or did you celebrate the actual miracle? Now, I'm not being harsh here. I'm just trying to teach the Holy Bible. You see, it's all right to say, yeah, I was healed. Yes, God intervened and did this and that. And he broke through history and changed this for me. Yep, he did it. Did you celebrate the message or just the gift of the miracle? The gift giver or the gift? The message or the temporary blessing? You know, I think if we would just understand that Jesus is the King and he came to establish the kingdom and his kingdom is about him. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who gives purpose. He is the one who gives blessings. But the kingdom is about him. Not just what he does. Not just the good miracles and the good items that he has in his bag. The most amazing thing about God's kingdom is King Jesus. The most amazing thing about King Jesus is salvation. Everything about Jesus' life was about salvation. Jesus never did anything just to do it. And it related to salvation. Why? Because his kingdom is a kingdom of salvation.
When Jesus preached, he preached about salvation. When Jesus called followers, he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. What does that mean? Then you are going to catch people and bring them in the kingdom. When Jesus ministered to people by miracles and other means, he did so to prove that he was the king, and he gives salvation and eternal life. When Jesus hung on the cross, he didn't do it for any other reason than to atone for our sins so that we could be saved. Everything that Jesus touches, he touches to bring salvation. Now, if you're here today and you relate to Jesus in ways that has nothing to do with salvation, I want you to think carefully, because it very well may be rooted in selfishness. And I'm saying that even to myself. If I'm relating to Jesus and it has nothing to do with salvation, either mine or anyone else's, it very well may be that my primary motive is just pure selfishness. And selfishness is sin. But oh, the amazing thing God wants to do through us to promote that Jesus is our Savior. He is the Savior. Now let me get practical for a moment. You know that new job you've been wanting? All right, go ahead and pray. But it better be more than just an increase in pay that you're interested in. Because where you work is one of your primary mission fields. Yeah, God allows you to be employed to pay your bills, and I don't want to suggest otherwise. We have bills that must be paid. But more importantly than paying your bills, you live with a purpose, a kingdom's purpose, and your place of work is a primary, not your only one, but is a primary mission field for you. In that new car you've been thinking maybe it'll come under the tree this year. Oh, it'd be nice. You see it on TV, they got those big old bows on them, you know. Anywhere from the little one to the big one. I mean, they advertise it all the same. It doesn't matter if you want one that just puffs and smokes and coughs and makes it in the driveway, or one of these luxury vehicles. They have a big old bow. It looks so nice. You know, that new car you've been wanting, it better be more than about a new ride to make you look good. Because if you have something that you have not given use to for God's work, then you're missing it, and so am I. If this is not an instrument of God's kingdom's work, if wives' gifts are not a tool, then they're selfish. They're just for us. Then we're missing it. We'll never live full and significant, feeling like our lives count when so much of it's been in selfish causes. You know that new relationship you'd like? Well, maybe just selfish, whether it's a friend or an intimate relationship, because, you see, it's got to be more than just satisfying your own needs. And I think it's okay to say, God, you know what? Just as I said about Adam, it was not good for Adam to be alone. It's not good for me to be alone. God knows all that. But I want you to know something. When we study the New Testament and the letters of Paul, we're convinced that even our marriages need to be more than just about us. And this whole notion to be equally yoked is more than just for our comfort. Now, it is wonderful to be equally yoked, because there's comfort in that. But more important than that, when you are equally yoked, you can use your synergy, your togetherness, to advance the mission of Christ without one slowing one down, without one wanting to go and be apart. You can both be on mission together. You see, our lives are not our own. Our lives have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. The kingdom is all about King Jesus, and King Jesus is all about salvation. Everything that he did, everything that he touched, his reason for being. And what about us? There are a lot of lost folks around us
in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, all around us. There are a lot of lost people. The majority of people are going to a godless hell, and they need to know about King Jesus. Over the last couple, 3 weeks, the news has been busied with the engagement of Prince Harry with Meghan Markle. Now, I know you've seen it. You know, Harry's a long way from being the king. The last king of England was actually King George VI, who was born December 14th, 1895, and died February the 6th, 1952. He was succeeded as king by his daughter, Queen Elizabeth II, who's still now in England ruling. Now, normally, the throne would have went to a son, but in the absence of a son, it'd go to a daughter, which was the case with Queen Elizabeth. Now, when Queen Elizabeth married, she married Philip, who's not the king. He's the prince. Because if he is a king, then the king would be above the queen, and then the royal line would be distorted. He ain't gonna be the king. He's just the prince. Now, if Queen Elizabeth passes, you'll never get this on the news. You got to pay attention. If and when Queen Elizabeth passes, or if she chooses to abdicate her throne, it will legally pass to Prince Charles, her son. However, let it be known, you've heard it from me, rumors have it that he probably will not ascend to the throne. It very well be, according to the rumor mills, he will be skipped over and the crown will actually go to Prince William. Now, Prince William is the Duke of Cambridge, and he has children. Prince George, Princess Charlotte, and now Kate's got one in the oven. Now, as we stand today, Prince Harry is sixth in line to the king. And he is praying that William and Kate has no more kids. If they do, me and Harry are going to be about in the same place in the rule of succession. Now, all of this is yet up for grabs because the rules of succession change. They've changed. And they could change again. And I'm thinking, wow, I mean, what a mess. I mean, if you were to just read about, it's just fascinating, the rules of succession. Even if you think our tax code has all these different weird things. I mean, read the code of succession in the United Kingdom monarchy. It's crazy. And then they change the rules. And by the way, isn't there a prime minister in a parliament who really runs the whole place of England and the UK? It's not really the monarch. It's just a constitutional monarchy. They just kind of, whatever they do, I still don't know what their purpose is really. But you have God who says, you know what, I'm going to bring a kingdom to earth. And the kingdom that I have, the rules are very simple. I'm going to send them a king. They're not going to choose. They're not going to make the rules. I'm sending the king. Now, my kingdom is going to be the same. It'll never change. It's an eternal kingdom. And this king will be born by human means, Mary and Joseph, Mary the Virgin, Joseph the daddy, and they're going to raise him. And my
King, my Son that I will send, He and He alone, my only begotten Son, will teach and minister and care for them and will give them the message of the kingdom, the message of the kingdom, the message of the kingdom. And the message of the kingdom is a message of eternal salvation. And then He will die by evildoers. And then it looks like His kingdom will end. It'll only be the beginning. Because out of His death comes life, resurrection, forgiveness of sin, power and authority, vitality, significance, purpose. You can either receive the kingdom or you can walk away from the kingdom. You see, no one's forced into this kingdom. You see, to walk away, all you have to do is do nothing. To walk away from the kingdom of God and King Jesus, you just do nothing. Nothing. Just go on and live. But to enter this kingdom, you come to the King and you humble yourself and give Him control and you tell Him you believe in Him and you'll follow Him because He is your Messiah, your Savior, your King, and you're going to live for Him. You see, that's the kingdom of God. Will you receive it or do nothing and reject it? Father, You made this so simple. Lord, we can make it so difficult. Boy, and we preachers have sure done our part to make it so complex. A King has been born. He's established a kingdom. We know it. And we either believe and follow and trust Him and receive all the great benefits of the kingdom, or we just do nothing and stay outside. But I pray in Jesus' name, our eternal King, that truth has been communicated and people will receive. Oh God, speak to us now. Oh, how we need You, King Jesus. Oh, how we need You. Call us now. Draw us. May we see the open door and walk in and follow. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the preaching ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. We trust the Lord will show His mercy and grace to you. At Liberty, we believe everyone counts. Our motto is One Church, All People. If there is a need in your life that we can meet, please contact us soon. Perhaps you need prayer for a personal matter. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe you need spiritual counsel. We have trained staff to help you. Perhaps you're looking for a friendly church that bases its teaching and practice on the Bible. Then consider us your home church. You can contact us by phone at 770-461-5644. You may wish to learn more about the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church from our website. It is www.lbcfayette.org. May God greatly bless you, and thanks again for your interest in the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ.